For RightsCast recaps, discounts on editing services, and educational content delivered to your inbox once a month, you can subscribe to the R.R. Campbell Writes newsletter over at rrcampbellwrites.com/newsletter. Again, that's rrcampbellwrites.com/newsletter. The R.R. Campbell Writes newsletter, where all news is the right news. Thanks for listening. So you've got an idea, a concept, or perhaps you already have a book ready and waiting to be introduced to the world. You want to share it far and wide, but worry about how the community might react, or whether you'll be seen as just another fraud simply trying to promote yourself. The common theme is this: there's a certain ickiness that comes with self-promotion, but today's guest will help us shed that sheen of discomfort and embrace our most authentic selves along with everything we have to offer the world. Hey there, I'm R.R. Campbell, and welcome to episode 28 of the listener-supported R.R. Campbell WritesCast. Before we get into this episode's main content, I want to give a quick shout-out to Twitter user April_M_Woodward, who recently responded to a post from the WritesCast on Twitter promoting episode 1 of the show, which is all about how to write high-flying action scenes. April retweeted the episode with her own comment, saying she, quote, needed this, which helped put the advice in that episode out in the writing community at large. So thank you, April, for sharing that post with others. I very much appreciate it. If you'd like a shout-out in a future episode of the show, be sure to tweet your feedback at WritesCast or IamRRCampbell on Twitter. Or, if you feel like being a true superhero, you can become a supporter of the show over at patreon.com/WritesCast, where you can not only help the show offset costs associated with hosting and licensing fees, but also cash in on awesome patron rewards. No matter how you choose to show your support, however, I'd love to hear from you, so please don't hesitate to reach out. Alright, let's get to better know this episode's return guest. Cheryl Meir is a public relations guru who last joined us on the WritesCast to talk about branding as an author in episode 6 of the show. This time, she coaches us up on getting over common hang-ups related to self-promotion where our work as writers is concerned, something her background as a certified life coach and author herself makes her the perfect person to speak to. So, without further ado, let's hop into this WritesCast episode on ick-free self-promotion. Stay tuned after the interview for updates on future episodes of the show, and thanks, as always, for listening. Well, thank you, Cheryl, for joining me again on the WritesCast.
Oh, pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me back.
We're talking about something that's related a bit, I believe, to what you spoke to in that first episode you joined us for. Today, though, we're talking about self-promotion and how we can do it in an ick-free way. So, what, in your opinion, are some of the main reasons people might not be comfortable engaging in self-promotion?
You know what? It's probably not the reason most people think. So most people might think it's lack of strategy or people don't know how, but that's actually not true because it's quite easy in this day and age to hop onto Google or hop onto various, you know, gurus and experts, Facebook page and whatnot, and find out free tips. That's not really the issue. The issue is more from a psychological perspective, which is, do I feel like I want to be seen? Am I really ready to stick my head above the parapet and have people disagree with me if I have a strong opinion? So when it comes to self-promotion, it really becomes a question of, am I ready to actually stand out as a leader? Am I ready to stick my neck out? Am I ready to talk about these things that I'm passionate about? Am I really confident that when I promote my work, when I promote my book, that I'm ready for the critics and the people that don't like it? Because that is inevitable. So it really becomes an issue of self-confidence. So it's psychological rather than strategic.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I do think that that's true even for myself. So I'm sure many other listeners feel the same way. On that note, then, why should we as writers be open to pursuing self-promotion, even if we do have these negative feelings toward it?
You know, it's really interesting. I went to the Hay House Writers Workshop recently, and I know many of your listeners and yourself as well write fiction, as do I, but my clients write nonfiction, and Hay House are one of the largest nonfiction publishers out there, certainly in the realm of spirituality and self-help, which tends to be what my clients write. And what they were saying at the workshop, and the CEO was there of Hay House, a guy called Reed Tracy from the States, they were saying that building a platform is one of the most important things as an author, because if you're not going to build a platform, then how are the people who need your book going to find you? So it's really essential. There might be some really practical reasons that people don't want to engage in that promotion because maybe they have a a day job, for example, and they want to hide behind their pen name because they're writing maybe erotica, like I have, for example. So that might make self-promotion a little bit more tricky. But really, if you want people to read your work and you want to reach a lot of people and perhaps you want a book deal down the line, there really is no getting around building a platform. So it's pretty much essential as an author.
So now that we have an understanding of what might be holding us back from self-promotion, and we also can see the value in it, what can we as people and writers do to help ourselves overcome the discomfort of engaging in self-promotion and actually, you know, take to the digital streets or the literal streets to actually engage in that self-promotion?
Yeah, do a little bit of street preaching about your book. Why
exactly,
not?
Exactly, right.
Yep. Get out on the streets and talk about it, yeah. No, joking aside, I was being silly, of course. But again, it comes back to psychology. So it's never about the thing you think you're afraid of. So one fear that people might be really familiar with is a fear of public speaking. Now, that's not actually a fear of public speaking. It's afraid of judgment. It's being afraid of what people will think of you. It's not being afraid of people or being afraid of speaking, because we interact with people and talk every single day. It's that fear of everyone's looking at me, all these eyes are on me, and I don't know what to do. Now, that doesn't actually come from a fear of public speaking. It comes from something else that happened way, way back in your life. So the way our brains work is that we try and keep ourselves safe. So there might be something that happened when we were 5 or 6 years old and that made us feel like it wasn't safe to talk about what we really want to talk about, or it's not safe to be ourselves. Then maybe something happened in our mid-teens that kind of compounded that belief. And so we start to build this belief of it's not safe for me to be on a platform in any way. It's not safe for me to stand out. That may be the case if there's been, you know, bullying or trauma. It doesn't even need to be anything that big, though. It could just be going through life and, you know, your dad says something when you're little, and then your uncle says something else, then your friend says this, and it compounds so that we think that it's not safe. So what it becomes then is actually digging this belief out by the root and then telling a different story. So it becomes a case of basically reprogramming your brain, and you can do that through self-hypnosis, through NLP, through affirmations, through a bunch of different ways. But you basically need to get yourself in that state of mind that I want to be out there. I know for myself, you know, I am quite controversial in a lot of the things I talk about. I'm very blunt. I'm very to the point. And what happens is I do get a lot of backlash online. And if I'm not in a place where I feel confident in myself, if I don't feel secure, if I don't feel good, you know, that just wouldn't work. So you have to be confident in yourself. And people say, fake it till you make it. I'm going to call BS on that. You really need to find out, where did this fear come from? Why am I not comfortable being myself? Why am I afraid of this? And there can be so many different reasons, but it all comes down to fear. And it's all about reprogramming your brain so that you feel like it's safe to talk about it. So it really isn't about book promotion. It is, but it's not. It's about that fear of, am I going to be torn down again? Am I going to have those old wounds reopened? So it's a lot more complex than we might imagine.
So it sounds like there's a lot of self-examination that might go into deciding to really engage in self-promo, but it would seem then also that really the best way to get comfortable doing it would be by simply taking that leap and starting to engage in that. So with that in mind, what are some of the best case practices that you've seen for self-promotion as an author? And are there particular platforms that seem to work better than others? Do you have recommendations for messaging, anything along those lines?
Yeah, it goes back to the same thing. It goes back to being yourself. I mean, I can give someone the best strategy in the world. You know, I've worked in PR for 8 years now, and I know my craft inside out, but I can give someone the best strategy in the world. But if they don't feel like they really want to do it, they're going to self-sabotage, and they're not going to be able to handle it when critics come at them. So yeah, like you can do it any way you want too. Like I use Twitter a lot. I use Facebook a lot. I use Instagram. I find Instagram a really, really powerful tool, particularly with Instagram stories. But you've got to be yourself. So when people say things like, you know, I don't know what my messaging is, your messaging is you. You are your brand. So if you know who you are and you're comfortable with who you are, then you will just be yourself online. It's really not about crafting a persona or crafting messaging. It's about being who you are. So one thing I recommend is to make sure that you weave in your own dialect from the particular part of the country that you're from. Obviously, I'm British and I've lived in Canada too, so I make sure that I weave in that kind of language when I'm talking, because that's authentic to me anyway. But it also sets me apart, because not everyone has, you know, lived in lots of different places and has a bit of a funny accent like I do. So I play on that, right? So there certainly are tactical ways of doing it. But again, it goes back to you know, if you're not at a place where you really believe in yourself, you can use the greatest tactics in the world, and all the tactics are out there. You can, you know, you can look at them up and Google them. But if you don't feel like you really want to do that, I've seen resistance to it all the time. And again, it's not the fear of building the platform or getting the right tactic. It's the fact that most people don't actually want to be seen.
And it sounds like my takeaway there, at least, would be that the imperative in these cases of self-promotion is to really just be oneself. But then with that in mind, what are some things that we might want to avoid doing when engaging in self-promotion? Are there any faux pas we want to prevent ourselves from embodying when we get out there in the world to show the world what we're made of?
Yeah. So a faux pas, let me think. You know, I really want to empower people to really have a go, to play and to go on Instagram stories or go on Twitter or go on Facebook and find their own way. Because sometimes we try and replicate what other people are doing. And if that's not authentic to who we are as a person, it doesn't feel right. People might not know why, but it just doesn't really feel like us. So I don't want to say, you know, definitely don't do this thing. I want to empower people to go and play and try it out. But one thing I do see in self-promotion, particularly with books, which is a little bit painful to see, is when there's no personality behind it. And I'm sure you've seen it too. You go on someone's Twitter and there's a feed and it says, buy my book for 99 cents. And that's the entire feed. And they tweet it out on the hour, every hour for days, weeks, months, et cetera. So don't be a robot. That's the biggest faux pas. Don't be a robot. Be yourself and feel empowered to make mistakes, because you will, because it's inevitable. And if you make mistakes, it means that you are trying. You're trying something different. There's loads of things you can do. You can use graphics, which you can design in. I use Canva. So that's like Canvas, but without the S, canva.com. It's totally free. You can design graphics. Obviously, social media is very visual. So that's one thing you can do. Use GIFs, use videos. Use things that are interactive so that people will talk to you. And people say there's an 80-20 rule. So it's 80% useful content. So that might be sharing little bits about your life or little snippets of your book, depending on what your genre is. And then the 20% is the promotion. Because if you start sharing little chapters or little excerpts of your book, people will want more naturally. So you create this demand rather than pushing it on people. You create people who come to you and want to buy your book. So the 80-20 rule is 80% fun, basically, and 20% promotion. So the biggest faux pas there really is the too much promotion. But again, I am cognizant of not wanting to disempower anyone to make those mistakes.
Yeah, certainly. And then I think let's tie this in, maybe if we could, to some of what you spoke to back in episode 6, which was focused on how to brand ourselves as authors. What kind of crossover do you see between branding and self-promotion?
That's a really, really good question. It's tough to say because it varies massively depending on what genre you're writing. So I've written fiction before, but because I'm from a PR background, I approached it very, very differently to how a lot of fiction authors do. My way certainly worked, but it wasn't conventional. I approached it from this personal branding perspective of having, you know, my photo out there with my real name and not a pen name, and really promoting it as me as a person writing my first book rather than promoting the book. I sort of did it, reverse engineered it. If you're writing nonfiction, if you're writing something like self-help or spirituality, which most of my clients write, it becomes a question of why am I writing this and what do I want to get out of it? Therefore, what are my goals? Then that impacts how somebody promotes it. Well, what I see with a lot of fiction authors is that they do hide behind a pen name and they don't engage in the branding side, and that does impact their self-promotion. What I mean by that is you'll go on their Twitter profile, for example, and it will say LK Rhodes or something, and it will have a picture of a rose as the profile picture rather than a picture of a human being. So this person already seems anonymous and like they're a robot, and that can be intentional. Like I said, sometimes you have a day job and you don't want people at work to know you're writing this particular book, and there's merit in that. That is sensible at times, but what that means is it's very difficult to promote your book on any other channels other than your own. So you could probably do a podcast like this, but you wouldn't be able to do any guest blogging. You wouldn't be able to do any TV and radio. So from the PR perspective, which is always the side of it I come from, you're really cutting yourself off from other opportunities of promoting. So you're really limited to your own channels, maybe a podcast or two, and maybe some book blogger reviews. So when people are not getting in front of their brand, when they're hiding behind a pen name, when they're not showing their face, when they're not being who they are as a person, it really does cut them off from the promotion that they can engage in because of how they're approaching their branding.
And I'll say this to listeners who might be tuning in to this episode before they've had an opportunity to listen to episode 6. I would certainly encourage you to go back and listen to episode 6, especially if anything Cheryl touched on in that last answer is something you'd like to know more about, because we did have, you know, a full half hour conversation about developing one's brand and the importance of it, and just making sure that we present ourselves in the most authentic way possible. So with all of that in mind, is there any last bit of advice you'd like to give or double down on for listeners who are, you know, thinking about changing their self-promotion strategy?
Listen to the experts. It's quite enlightening for me to attend events like the Hay House Writers Workshop when I'm going there as an author / PR person, and a lot of the people there, promotion is new to them. And there are a lot of people that were trying to circumvent the building of a brand or the building of a platform. And the resounding answer from the Hay House representatives there were, there really is no way to get around this. You need to do this, and you need to listen to us because we know what we're talking about, essentially. I'm obviously paraphrasing, but listen to the experts. Don't think that you can be the exception to the rule and somehow get around this. If you're writing books, particularly with the nonfiction genre, I know, again, a lot of your listeners are fictional, but writing fictional books, but when you're writing nonfiction, if you're building a brand, you've got to build a platform with it. So listen to the people who know their stuff. Go out there and research it yourself. I know sometimes if you're an indie author, it can be difficult in terms of marketing budget, but go on, search for podcasts, search on YouTube, search on Google, look for people who know their stuff and look for the free information that they offer. So for example, I offer a free guide to winning Media Interviews, which is a guide on how to write pitch notes, which is available on my Facebook page. And that is a 4-page guide that guides you through the entire process of approaching the media. So if you don't know and you can't hire an expert, then at least listen to the people who know and see what free information you can get. I mean, obviously don't bleed them dry, but if they're giving free content, absorb that and teach yourself and learn. And that's what I did when I started out. You know, I was very much a sponge for that type of information. So don't sit back on your laurels and say, oh, I don't know how. Again, it goes back to that. Is it you don't know how, or is it you don't want to be seen? So that there is that, which we touched on at the start of our interview. But you can find out. There is so much information out there. Google it, look for it, listen to podcasts, do all of that and research it and empower yourself with that information. Because if you're not growing your audience, if you're not growing in terms of social media, you'll be so far behind the eight ball that it will be very, very difficult to catch up. So engage in it, have fun with it. I absolutely love social media. It doesn't feel like work, it feels like fun. So go out there and play and have fun with it. So that would be my parting wisdom for you.
Well, we'll have to listen to people who know their stuff, folks like PR guru Cheryl Meir, who, of course, I'm very thankful to have back on the show. So thank you very much, Cheryl, for being on. We'll have to chat again sometime about any number of other topics out there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me back.
There you have it, another interview in the books. I hope Cheryl's tips for becoming a more confident you in the world of marketing have you feeling as refreshed and ready as I am to take on this new year with a new attitude towards self-promotion. A big thank you to Cheryl for stopping by to educate us on this topic, and a huge thank you to all of you listeners for tuning in. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't extend the greatest thank you of all to Wise Mentor Kristen Oakley, who supported the show at $3 per episode over at patreon.com/rightscast is a huge boon in helping the Rightscast become a self-sustaining operation. As a Wise Mentor, Kristen gets all sorts of lovely perks in exchange for her patronage, something that you too can cash in on for contributions of even just $1 per show over at patreon.com/rightscast. If that's something that interests you, please do check it out. I'd love to have your support. Coming up next on the Rightscast, we'll hear from editor, writing coach, and self-pubbed author Sione Ashleman for a how-to on self-publishing, part of a mini-series you won't want to miss. The first installment of this series debuts on January 19th, so do stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I encourage you to sign up for the R.R. Campbell Writes newsletter, which features monthly Rightscast recaps, editing discounts, writing tips, and updates on other exciting resources coming soon to rrcampbellwrites.com. You can also stay in touch with me and the show over on Twitter at @IamRRCampbell and @Rightscast. Thanks again for listening. Write on and write well.